Now entering Nerdist.com.
Big Pop Fun. It's time for another episode of Big Pop Fun with Tom Wilson. Join Tom as he talks to the artists, writers, performers, and personalities that affect that... Well, that he could talk into being on the show. Here's Tom.
Hello, everybody. I'm Tom Wilson. Welcome to the Big Pop Fun Podcast, another episode. Hey, thanks for coming by. I appreciate it very much. Welcome. Welcome to another magical sleigh ride of enchantment and wonder as we glide on whispering zephyrs of fresh air. Unless you're in Denver, where I am right now, where you'll be gliding on a howling gale that has blown all the patio furniture into the hotel pool. And it's like heavy metal hotel patio furniture, not the plastic stuff that I have at Wilson World. It has been just howling here and raining. But fortunately, Denver has those hailstorms with the bowling ball hail that just crush cars and things. But, I have not experienced that. I think there was Lewis and Clark didn't come this low to Denver, did they? They were way up there, Montana and Idaho, wherever. But they got the hailstorms in the western United States. They were, I don't know, bowling ball size. I think they knocked one of their party unconscious. I'm not sure. Anyway, no hailstorms, thank you. But it has been a howling gale, and with my view outside my hotel room window is sheets of rain and a hotel pool full of heavy metal patio furniture. Anyway, but relax. Relax on your whispering zephyr that whispers peace and tranquility to you. And I'm trying to listen to the whispers, but I am on the road. And I am in Denver, so the air is much thinner here. So maybe my muse, the whispers that are whispering peace and tranquility, might be out of breath. They may need supplemental oxygen. But I'm listening hard, and I'm trying to live peace and tranquility here on the road in a hotel that is about a mile walk from the nearest restaurant. But it's a Panera, and that's okay. Panera's all right. We get the bacon turkey Bravo, and we move on. Denver. We're here in Denver. I've been to Denver many times, and the people are very friendly here, though a little lightheaded. I know I always tease Denver about the thin air, but actually I always feel it. I do. Maybe it's my asthma. Maybe I don't know. But within 4 days, doing shows here especially, I just feel the thin air. But I forgive Denver for that, and it's my fault. I just need thicker air. I do not go smooth on air. I go smooth on peanut butter. I go chunk style on air because I live in Los Angeles and it's thick. And you could just sometimes have candy wrappers inside the air in L.A. Zack Stone is going to be famous, a wonderful show that I told you to watch and I asked you to watch. And some of you did, I'm sure, because you listen to everything I say, but it was canceled and that's sad. But they did play all 12 episodes. And I feel sure, people, that the DVD of Zack Stone, which is already, I think they're pre-ordering it on MTV. Go and check it out. It's going to be a good DVD, and there will be a following. Freaks and Geeks was like this. Nobody watched it when it was on television, and then it became a hit on DVD. Zack Stone is going to be famous. Mark my words, because I'm right about almost nothing, but Zack Stone is going to be famous. Will be an interesting DVD to have if you feel like buying it, and I'm telling you to buy it, and I make 0.00001 cent on it, so... Yeah. In the year 2134, I will get a check for 14 cents for Zack Stone is going to be famous DVD. So don't think I'm trying to sell it to you. I'm just trying to, I think you would enjoy it. And I'm in the heat right now. The Heat still do. Hey, the Heat beat the Lone Ranger again. Beat the Lone Ranger, beat White House Down. And it's just two nice girls, Sandra Bullock and Melissa McCarthy, joking around a little bit with yours truly. So I'm in The Heat, which is a huge hit movie. I'm in Epic, a huge hit movie. Zack Stone is going to be famous. 12 episodes. You would think I wouldn't be sweating bullets about covering the mortgage payment. But here I am in Denver doing shows and having a lot of fun actually doing the shows. Thanks for people who came out. A couple of you listeners came up and said you listen to the podcast and appreciate it. And I appreciate that very much. So thanks for that. But I'm doing shows here at the Improv in my hotel room, in the hotel that is sort of landlocked. And it is a stone's throw from a Home Depot. So if I need caulk, I'm in good shape. If I need lunch, I'd better put on some hiking boots and hire a Sherpa. I very rarely have the feature comedians who are performing with me on a week as a guest on the show. I have a little bit. When I kind of find it interesting or think it might be a profitable conversation. And John Crist is one of those people. In talking to John, just at the club, he's had a very interesting life and a very interesting upbringing, very, very far from someone whom you would think would turn out to be a stand-up comedian. So I thought it'd be an interesting conversation. Now, within a few seconds of beginning our conversation, of course, this being me, we went far afield of where we started or my idea for where it might go. But hey, I enjoyed talking with John. So I'm on the road, so I don't have my usual microphone set up. So it is a recorded conversation from the hotel room with the onboard mic here. But hey, if you listen at all to Big Pop Fun, you know that keeping me away from the equipment is probably a good idea. So, hey, I hope you enjoy my conversation with comedian John Crist.
It's Big Pop Fun.
Yep. We're playing the Improv together here in Denver. Having a ball, aren't we?
Living the dream.
Aren't I doing fabulously?
Denver's the best. We're killing this place.
But you, man. Did you grow up here?
I grew up in Atlanta, Georgia.
Atlanta?
Yeah, yeah.
What brought you to Denver?
This is probably not the road of a comic, but I came out to Denver, Colorado to work at a company called Focus on the Family. You ever heard of them?
Focus on the Family with they have a radio show with James Dobson.
There you go. We're on your podcast. James Dobson.
That's
right
weird.
Now.
That's took me a while. No, I came up with it. Yeah. I came up with it. They had talked to me about doing something a long time. I don't think it worked out or whatever.
Probably not.
It didn't exactly work out. No, nothing against that. I just probably working on the same thing, right, Focus on the Family. Yeah. I'm focusing on...
We support it.
My family and family, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm for families.
Right. What if you
it didn't work out with them. Yeah. Whereas, I guess it didn't work out for you because you came out here and then decided to be a comedian?
Yeah, well...
You grew up... What did your dad do?
I grew up... My dad's is a pastor. Let me change that. He was a pastor for 30 years, and he just quit last year to become... you're going to laugh at this, but he's now the mayor of the city of Lilburn, Georgia.
Lilburn, Georgia?
Lilburn? Lilburn. Lilburn, like Lil John, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, sure. like a small burn.
Like
Lil Burn.
Like, have you ever worked with a comedian called Lil something? You just know where the weekend's headed.
Yeah,
you're working with a Lil.
No, fortunately, I haven't.
There's lots of Lils.
Are there really?
Like rappers, Lil Wayne, Lil G, Lil Shawty, Lil Playa.
Never heard of them.
Yeah, that's probably for the best. I just made those last two up. But there's a lot of Lils.
But Dad was a pastor, like of a small church,
pretty sizable church. Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah.
How many people were in the church? One of those mega church kind of things?
No, it wasn't like a Joel Osteen type.
Well, that's a sort of a stadium, isn't it?
That's a different. It was like 1,000 plus, something like that. Yeah, so.
And it's like a non-denominational,
church. We practice the thing about it, we practice our faith where we put our hand inside a bucket of snakes. And, you know, if they bite you, then you don't have faith and you won't be healed. You know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
If you drink poison.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you die, it meant you had no faith to begin with.
Yeah.
Because it seems like in my experience, Jesus did that a lot.
I didn't read the Bible, but the people say it's in there, so I just trust.
Before I call people to love one another or to forgive those who have wronged
you,
me do some magic tricks with snakes.
Well, for money, though. This isn't free. You need to pay us.
Of course.
Yeah.
Before you do that.
Bucket around.
So,
God, nightmare, dude.
You've ended up to be quite a young stand-up comic.
Yeah,
Were you... Did you start preaching? Were you going after Dad's thing for a while? I mean, what got you in front of people?
That's a great question.
Back in Lilburn.
Well, So I was the, I started, if you've ever been to a, like a contemporary church service before, there's the worship that happens.
So they have a worship?
Sing four or five songs. It's called like
I know what you're talking about.
Hold on, explain this to me. Oh yeah, I got
They have
a
worship section. And then what we call the message where pastor, what's your dad's name? Pastor Jim?
Johnny.
Pastor Johnny? Not even Pastor John? Not even Pastor Chris?
Johnny.
Pastor Johnny.
They call pastors by the first name. It's pastor and then the first name.
Oh, is that right?
Like Pastor Doug, Pastor Mike. That's how they do it in church.
I don't, I'm a Catholic, so I'm going to hell in Pastor Johnny's mind, so it doesn't matter really. I'll see Pastor Johnny somewhere on high.
Somewhere on the road.
And yes, yeah, and Pastor Johnny would be, how is he here? Wait a minute. I'm from Lilburn, Georgia.
What? Yeah. But I started, so after the worship service, there's a guy typically that comes up and does the announcements of the church. So like a guy comes up, he's like, church picnics next week.
Oh, sure.
If you want to get into Bible study, see me out front. So I was that guy.
We need more snakes.
Yeah, for more the bucket. Snakes. Yeah, poisonous.
So anyone, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was just coming up, and I was just kind of like, I would always be making jokes. I would be like, hey, listen, the Bible study is going to be next week. You probably, I don't own a Bible. Or like, I was just making stuff
up. So you were doing the announcements for Dad.
Yeah, but I was like always putting in jokes. And then it became more of like a thing. Like, people were literally coming, like, dude, do you hear this announcement guy? And then I was just writing all this stuff that I couldn't like weave into the announcements. So I was like, you know, the church picnic is next week, and I'm probably going to drive there. P.S. What's the deal with texting and driving? And then I'll be like going.
Really?
I'll be like going into bits.
So how old are you now?
I'm 29.
I mean, not I mean that. I mean, when you were doing this, when you started, not the difference between, hey, I'm kind of funny on the microphone,
right.
But like, I think I'm going to get a pen and I'm going to start writing down my ideas for funny announcements.
Man. That was probably my early 20s. I think I started writing ideas down probably 2.5-3 years before I ever even thought about doing stand-up. I was like, these are funny. Maybe I'll be a writer, or maybe I'll something. But these ideas, I just maybe it's, you know, all comedy is something that you can't come to grips with or deal with. You want to, it's, it frustrates
you. The incongruous,
you.
Yeah, the thing that you don't
like,
understand.
This doesn't make sense. Yeah. Like, I had one of my first jokes, and I'm not sure where the avenue is to tell this joke because I never have fitted in any of my act. It can't go in my church act and it can't go in my mainstream act. It's most Christians are pretty politically conservative, and me and my church went on a mission trip to Mexico last year. Like, we went down there to evangelize to everybody. Like, we went with a clear message. Like, we want you in heaven, just not in our country.
Right.
But like,
right.
You know, that's hard for me. As a Christian, that's hard for, like, that doesn't make sense, you know what I'm saying? And that's all my whole act is things that I'm trying to, I don't understand why
but
kids...
But with your experience of Christianity, certainly it's going to be a predominantly very Southern American, conservative, political kind of identity.
Yeah, maybe that's not everybody.
But I think worldwide, if you look at the history of Christianity, I think it would run the entire gamut.
Right.
From literal... You know, wouldn't you? From literal communism, where the church sort of have to go. I think you guys are getting a little far afield there because
the Crusades,
it's not an entirely communistic idea, but it is an idea of certainly sharing.
What the funny thing is you got it like the Christians of America. You got to believe. What blows my mind is well-meaning Christians that loved the Lord and wanted to serve God's purpose back in the day had slaves. Right?
Well, right. But the question is, though, John, are you a Christian then?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
that's a question.
Yes, 100%.
I mean, it's a question.
Right,
that question is, if you say something and then you do everything that's opposite that, are you actually that?
Right. Yeah.
And what I mean, I didn't mean to get into a really theological discussion with you, but really what matters in our let's take it outside of Christianity.
Yeah.
In morality, what matters? What we do or what we say?
What you do.
Right.
100%.
To me, it seems like that.
Yeah, as it should be. Yeah.
It seems like that.
Yeah.
Like when you die, I don't know what happens when we die. Nobody does.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
But when you die and you lived a life of forgiveness and kindness,
right,
and spending your life,
right,
in the interest of others.
For others, yeah.
Do you, like, if there's heaven and God there, loving, do you recognize God better than the guy said he believed in God and did every opposite thing?
Right, yeah. I would say, yeah. Well, it's funny because, like, in the story of the Bible, when Jesus was dying on the cross, the guy next to him was like, hey, I think you are who you say you are, and would you remember me in paradise? And he said, yes. So is that guy, that murderer, or that whatever he is in heaven? This is getting really serious, but I have a hard time coming to grips with that. Or, like, think about a guy.
Well, that's in other parts of the Bible too, isn't it? I mean, about whatever, heaven, if you believe there's a heaven,
right,
and you go there, the first thing that will probably happen to you is your shock and revulsion at how many people are there that you were sure were not going to be there.
Right, or people that they were there that you thought were going
to
be there.
Right.
Not there.
And your shock and revulsion at people not being able to enter heaven is what's going to keep you out of heaven ultimately.
Right. Yes. Like
we're just getting into a great divorce. The C.S. Lewis C.S. Lewis book, the Great Divorce. But,
or like, I was like, you know, the whole Jerry Sandusky thing.
Yeah,
like that guy claims to be like a committed Christian.
Right.
What?
Yeah.
Right.
Well, you just, as Christian people, we go, hey, stop helping us out, Jerry.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Let's just be real about this.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Which is, like, I feel like in comedy, I'm the only, not the only, but there's very few Christians that were, like, publicly practicing. Like, I talk about being a believer in my act and stuff like that. I'm not ashamed of it or anything. But it seems like every time a Christian does something, it's funny that we mentioned the Jerry Sandusky, all the comics come to me. I'm like, John, what's the deal with Westboro Baptist or whatever? I'm like, I don't know them. You know what I'm saying? They pick it.
Right.
The soldiers' funerals, or they...
Well, you have to,
I'm
actually...
like, this is my team, so I kind of have to...
Right.
Like, John, what's up with Chick-fil-A? All hating gay people. I'm like,
but isn't that a sort of a... the media has affected the American mind so much that now when the media selects one example of something that seems like incredible hypocrisy,
right,
then they duct tape it to you.
Like, this is,
and you're saying, like, I had nothing to do.
Right. Would you want to defend, like, all white people?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No.
They do, or like all, or like all black people, or like all gay, like, I think a lot of the gay community, like, can't stand the, like, parade gay people. You know what I'm saying? Because they're like, you guys are killing us, man. You guys are, you're flamboyant with the dildos on the floats and stuff like that. And, like, that's not us. You know, we're...
Right.
We're legitimate people that with good jobs that take care of ourselves. And we're not... You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, whatever teams you claim to be... Like, I would be on the team of, like, the Christ family, Christianity... Maybe the team of the United States of America. These are the things that I would.
But again, I go back to whatever. I go back to the media or television or whatever, where we're getting all of our information, and television is telling you that's what they're all like. Look at this.
Yeah, like the Westboro Baptist. These are Christians. Yeah,
which is just a comically ridiculous argument to make.
We should make a bit out of that. Or, like, you see a Muslim, we're like, oh, you want to, like, blow us all up? We're like. What?
Right.
No, I know a lot of Muslims that are, like, well-meaning, kind, caring people that would do anything for you.
Right.
But the media, do you think the media has said all Muslims want to blow up buildings?
Well, no, I don't think they've done that, no.
Okay.
But I think that they're not, let's face it, I mean, they're not doing stories about kind Muslim people being a part of communities.
That is true.
They're not doing stories about all the Christian people you know or I know that are helping homeless people or that are pouring out their hearts and their lives.
That's not a story, do you think?
Because that's not a story.
Yeah.
That is not interesting. Right. It just doesn't sell.
Right. So when you get on a plane and you see a guy with a head wrap and a beard, that makes you nervous, does it not?
No, it doesn't make me nervous.
Okay, well,
I mean, personally, you mean?
Yeah, yeah, or like people, no, like it doesn't, in general.
Maybe the old lady who's, yeah, yeah, you know, she watches her news all the time, like, and she's 72, and Morty, look who came on the plane, you know, but I think...
Is Morty her husband?
Morty is her husband, okay, who's sitting there, and he's having cheese of some kind.
And he can't hear that well, that's why
he's having cheese. He has the middle seat. Nobody knows why, because he's fat.
Morty.
Because, so the person at the window is now just going, oh my
she's
gosh, just
let me, aisle.
Right,
yeah, okay,
right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, but maybe them, but I don't think, I don't think the entire plane is going like, oh no, we're going down.
I think we're, I think even the gay community, people are more and more comfortable with, like, okay, yeah. Like my generation, when you hear like somebody is gay, you're like, oh, okay. Proud of him for coming out or mentioning that, but now let's all move on. But like, to my parents' generation, like, to hear someone's gay is like, you know what I'm saying? This like shatters the whole like, what? He's probably doing this, and he's probably doing this, and you know they make.
I don't think it's an entire generation.
Maybe not. Maybe
it's
my
entire generation.
Yeah.
I think maybe
where
growing
I grew
up around
up,
a little bird.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think that has
maybe it's the,
something
it's the Christian,
to do with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah. It's probably the Christian, the background I grew up in. That's probably true.
This specific, and I'm not. I'm not. Yeah, you and I have grown up, I think, in Christian families and Christian backgrounds, that we could say are very, very divergent.
Sure, sure. Yeah,
they're absolutely. Very, very different.
Yeah.
In the same way that our other argument would be that someone would think, oh, a Christian, and they would paint either a picture of you or whatever. They would paint their picture of whatever that picture is.
Right.
But it's just it's quite a tapestry. It's a mosaic full of.
And I've been on mission trips to other countries, and a Christian in Uganda is way different than a Christian in America. You know what I'm saying? Way different.
Right.
But you were like, if you didn't know any better, you're like the Christian. If you lived in America and you didn't know any better, what would you like? If we went on the street and asked people what a Christian was, they'd be like, those are the people that are judge everybody. I think there's like a purple haired lady on one of those TV stations. Like, that's what people think a Christian is. Do you think that or not?
That might be in some of the mainstream. I think that intelligent enough people, like those kind of people, I don't pay a lot of attention to them.
You probably shouldn't.
Like, I just skip over them because they just want to, you know, they want to think whatever. That's fine, whatever. It's America.
They can't be reasonable.
Right, you could find, you think whatever you want. Yeah. I don't care. But I think most thinking people reasonable people would be a little more sophisticated in their thinking than that.
Right. Yeah.
But going back to, you know, I am of an opinion, not only the media and they're bad and everything, but television itself is, to me, one of the worst things that's ever happened to Christianity.
Yeah, I would agree with that, yeah.
Because television, through, you know, the rise of television, then the 1950s come, the 1960s, and then televangelism starts.
Oh, geez.
And the idea of televangelism, maybe initially
like
it was nice.
Spread the gospel to the world.
Yeah, I wasn't like my mom watched those programs because they're nice programs with kind-seeming people.
Yeah.
But initially it begins as, I have this message of hope and forgiveness I'd love to give you.
Okay, we can hear that.
But TV turns on a dime because immediately TV is so expensive to stay on TV that you have to start asking for money immediately.
Via a prayer cloth.
And it has to be a lot of money.
A lot,
Because TV is really expensive.
Is. Yeah.
So within, I think, a very short period of time.
This is the best.
It turned into marketing.
Right.
Because somebody says, like, hey, man, we're not making enough money to keep this on. And clearly, God wants this to be on television.
So can you spice up the sermon?
Exactly.
A little bit?
If we're running out of money, I mean, that can't be. Because God wants me to be famous.
So,
God wants me to be on television.
Surely.
That's my meaning in my life, is to be famous and to be celebrated on television.
Spread the gospel to all the world.
And to have people look at me admiringly. Yeah. And to make a lot of money, and especially to buy a very nice car. And even a private jet to take me to gigs.
Okay, I tweeted this, I think last week. There was a pastor in Texas. I think his name is I.V. Hilliard. It's only, I say that his name because it's public. He some big mega church in Texas, this is a month ago, sent out an email to his congregation to raise money because his helicopter needed new blades.
Of course, of course.
And not, like, no one thought that was weird until the,
but the guy
mainstream
was,
media was like, this is insane. And then he was like, oh yeah, this is insane. And he sent out this huge apology because it was on Fox News or something. And everybody just
blasted. No, I saw one of the guys, I mean, you know, no names or whatever. It's just, it's old news. But it was on TV because I am so exhausted, I need a private jet. That is $18 million. But I'm believing the Lord. For if X amount of people give me $18,000 and X amount give me $1,800, this is a done deal, and I maybe am coming to your town to bring my message of comfortable air travel and something spiritual. I don't know what it'll be, but it's mostly comfortable air travel will come to you.
But think about it, the Jesus of the Bible, when he came to earth, he loved everybody, the prostitutes, the people that were the tax collectors, all the evil people. This is who he hung out with. You know who the people he got mad at? The church. The church, he was furious at the church and the Pharisees and all these. That's who he was at war against. And I would have to say, if Jesus came back now,
he would never stop throwing up.
The same thing would happen. The same thing.
No, I think that's true.
He would walk into the church and be like, "What the hell is going on here?"
Yeah.
You're raising money for blades of
Yes, I completely agree
Maybe
with
not.
You.
I
completely agree with you, but we all look for, because human beings have to gather together.
Right. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. A community
as some guy
sort.
Joked or something, Christianity is like, hey, some assembly required.
Right,
you can't, you know, it's always been that people have to get together.
Yeah.
And there's a huge problem when human beings get together that somebody wants to lead it.
Somebody has to be in
and
charge.
If there's one thing human beings are bad at, it's being important.
Yeah, terrible. Yeah.
Because it seems like immediately blow it.
Right. And Jesus, if you read the Bible, Jesus was always like, he would heal somebody and he would be like, don't tell anybody about this. Or the crowd was gathering and he tried to go off on his own. And like anything about building like an empire or being a leader, he wanted the opposite of that.
Right.
He wasn't like, everybody come to me, I'm famous.
But things have to be organized though.
You have to be organized.
You have to come somewhere.
Yeah, you gotta be.
And
you're
a human being.
Yeah.
And somebody has to go like, hey, you know this thing we're trying to do? It's a good thing and we should keep trying to do
it. Like the service starts at 11 o'clock. Somebody has to say some order.
Right.
Yeah. But if you look at, because I'm in, like, I came up through the open mics, and even on the road now as a comic, I think Jesus, or the message of Christianity, is more relevant now than I've, like, I can't sit through one open mic and not hear something about Christianity or Jesus.
What do you mean?
So with comics, they're making
like,
fun.
I'm not out of open mics when young people are
okay,
doing
yeah,
their
well, or like even thing even or... at even at clubs. Like, and even, I mean, last night, the opener has jokes about Jesus and somebody witnessing to her, and like,
oh, you mean like in a negative connotation?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
oh,
not,
those
yeah,
stupid
of
people.
Course, not
oh, you know, all
it.
Those stupid people.
Yeah, but everybody, almost every weekend, I go to the club, and either the host or the headliner has jokes about Christianity or religion or Jesus.
Well, it's always been a pretty fame, you know, pretty easy whipping.
But that,
whipping boy.
Yeah, but that, I mean, it happened. Jesus walking there 2,000 years ago. Like, how is it that people are still talking about it all the time? Is it because, like, I come into, I don't make jokes about at the expense of Christianity because I am a Christian, but if I did a show in a church, I could kind of bring some things to light because that's my team. You know what I'm saying? I'm on the Christian team. I'm not against it. So my jokes would be coming for, like, I can't make jokes about fat people, or I can't make jokes about black people because I'm not on that team. You know what I'm saying?
So only team members can joke about the team?
Or no, I think anybody can joke about anything, but if I'm making a joke in church about something in Christian culture, I think people appreciate that because they know, oh, he's one of us. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I was going to, like, an all-black show and I was making fun of how black people do this and that, we were like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Or making fun of gay people, or making fun of, like, you're not, the gay guy can make fun of gay people, uh-huh. right? Because that's...
Right.
I can make fun of homeschoolers all day because I was homeschooled. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. There's certain things, but, like, if you're talking about Christianity, the reason, like, a lot of comedy is you not be able to come to grips with things. Like, I don't understand why politicians say this and then do this. A lot of people talk about that. I don't understand why Viagra commercials or whatever. Everyone seems to be talking about Christianity because they can't, I don't think they can, they can't put it together in their minds. You know what I'm saying? Do you feel like that's true or no?
Well, yeah, I feel like it's true. I think mostly it's because they're not bright enough to actually look into it. And I don't mean to look into it in order to become Christians. In order to look into it, in order to see, as I say, a more sophisticated view of a worldwide faith that has survived for 2,000 years in many, many, many different ways and has failed and is full of absolutely broken people trying to make it through in the best just way like that they can, like everybody else.
Yeah.
As opposed to making a straw man argument, you're just creating a caricature of some guy from TV.
Here's what he said.
Yeah, right. He is, you know, that guy, and then making that the just.
That's
the,
your argument.
That is your argument. Yeah. Look at him. You said, I understand that. I argue against him as much as you do. I'm not for him at all. Yeah. You know? But look at him.
No, but I think everybody, like, if everybody in this country, at least the comics in the generation that I've come into, the comics in their 20s, everybody knows about Christianity. Like, I did a joke last night. I said, everybody names their kid Bible names, but they haven't read the Bible. Like, I was like, we named our son Asher. And I'm like, Asher killed his wife with an axe. That doesn't make sense. Like, and here's our, meet our other two sons, Judas and Goliath.
Right, right.
We're a mainstream comedy club at the Denver Improv. Everybody laughs at that joke.
Right.
Does everyone get that?
I don't think, no. I don't think everyone gets that.
You don't think everyone gets that?
No.
Maybe, yeah, or like...
I mean, Asher or Goliath, I mean, these are kind of... It's not terribly sophisticated, right, but yeah, I mean, Judas, certainly.
They know that that's the bad guy.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Yeah, yeah, and Goliath. Everybody knows. Would everybody know the story of David Goliath, you think?
Everyone would know the story about David Goliath.
In America.
Sure.
Yeah.
But Jonah gets used a lot. Jonah wasn't all that great.
Right, yeah.
Jonah gets used a lot, you know?
Yeah.
They're
like, but I think every comic, like, they speak negatively about Christianity because I think a lot of people were like, well, when I was growing up, my uncle said he was a Christian and he was an alcoholic and beat my aunt.
Of course,
Or my dad said he was a Christian, and I started smoking cigarettes, and he disowned me. Or my boss said he was a Christian, and I saw him steal money.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's everyone is completely has written off.
So their argument is, it has a basis.
Yeah.
Basis in a longing for this to be possible for a person. Right. To be able to literally change their behavior, change their behavior from believing in Jesus, from their Christian faith,
right? Yeah,
which they remain human beings though.
Yeah. They're
called to do everything different. But that takes some effort, and people don't like giving effort.
Right.
So you might as well just go back to our first argument, which was just say you're a Christian and do whatever you want.
People don't like to give effort. Yeah. Because, everybody, like, even if you're a Christian, I'm a Christian and I'm a guy and I'm single, I still look at a girl.
What?
And be like, yeah. And it's just,
Pastor Johnny say about that? Out,
but, like, I would, look at a girl, like, I wonder what she looks like naked. I would have the same thought everyone else does, you know what I'm saying? But I was like you said, it takes some kind of effort to be like, okay, I'm probably not going to pursue that. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Right.
But that's where...
But that takes your effort as a human
being.
And
relying on God to strengthen you. Yeah.
Right. And going back to our meetings or whatever, where a person or a book or or a song or
higher
something
power.
Is saying, hey, ultimately, in your life and the lives of a lot of people, going down a path like that, maybe it doesn't feel like you're... You know, you're going down the wrong path at first, but it really leads into this spiral thing.
Yeah, and then
that just doesn't really go well for people.
Yeah, and we turn it into so much like legalism. I'll tell you a funny story. So like Chris, you'd be like, "Well, I didn't look at porn because she was wearing a bikini, so it's cool." Like that's the
guys
message.
Have that. That's sort of an argument.
Though. Yeah, yeah. The message of Jesus is completely the opposite of that, but we've in Christianity you go down a road that is just like Jesus was like, if you look lustfully upon a woman, you've committed adultery in your heart, basically saying everyone's a sinner. You know what I'm saying?
Well, but that's the point. That's the point.
Yeah.
Not the point that don't look at girls in bikinis, but the point is, look, you are a human being.
Yes.
You are going to struggle with this.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, makes sense.
What did your mom do?
My mom's a stay-at-home mom. I was one of 8 kids.
And you were homeschooled, you
said?
Yeah. What is that like? Not what is it like, because you can't put the whole experience. What is it like? Did you ever go to regular school? Did you,
I went in ninth grade. They sent us, every kid was homeschooled first to 8th grade, and then they sent us to
school. The first day of ninth grade like when you meet all the other kids and everything when you're the homeschool kid?
Yeah, I talk about that in my act a little bit. It's just like, because I was so sheltered. All I had was church friends and then like homeschool. So I didn't like.
So it was very sheltered. Don't go into town or don't
no,
go.
No, well, just don't. Like we didn't know. Like I didn't know.
Yeah.
Like even I started going in the stand up in like clubs like 4 years ago. And like if there's anything about like sex, if there's a reference that I don't get, it's about sex or drugs. I'm like, it's usually about one of those two. Still now. I mean, I don't... But I'm okay with...
Right, because you just didn't... It wasn't a part of your daily...
Someone, I think a comic... This was... he made a joke referencing the maid. The maid came out and cleaned his hotel room. And he left a roach for her. Do you know what that is?
The drug thing.
What is it?
Like a pot cigarette or something?
Yeah, I think it's the end. Or what's left.
Yeah, whatever,
I was like, does everyone know what that is? And everyone was laughing at the joke. And I was like, what? Like, I didn't know. I never heard that term before. Uh-huh. Or there's things all the time. Yeah. I'm like, what? I never knew what that was. But
was that really apparent in ninth grade? Like, walking into the class and, hey, this is John.
100%. And he was like, he had jeans that came to his ankles because I, like, got my brother's hand-me-down clothes. And I'd, like, I have a joke in my act. I said all the kids were wearing Abercrombie and Fitch. I had never heard of that. I was wearing a breadcrumb and fish.
Uh-huh.
Like, we always had the Christian versions of things, and I think we all just, whatever my dad said, we're like, I don't know, I guess that's right. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I never really. But I, coming up in stand-up, it's funny, because when I started in stand-up, I was like, I gotta fit in with all these comics. I gotta talk about cool things. But then, like somewhere along the line, it was Louis Anderson, who's a friend of mine. He was like, "You have such a unique perspective. Like, why don't you just embrace that and talk about that? Like, being homeschooled, being sheltered, being Christian, being conservative. Why don't you make jokes about that? Because no one else is making those jokes.
Yeah.
Like, why would you want to?" Make the jokes
about new hip guy.
Having sex with girls when there's 90 other comics that are making the same jokes.
90?
Not more than that.
Right.
Million.
No.
Every comic. And even here in Denver, like I don't have any other job. I do a full-time stand-up comic.
That's how you pay the bills.
I make a lot, like...
That's good.
Make a lot of money.
That's great,
man. But I don't say that to brag, because I'm the first guy to say I'm not the best comedian on earth. But if you're in Denver and you want to have like a church show or a corporate show or like a... I did like at the Crisis Pregnancy Center. I did their fundraiser. You know what? If John Crist is not available... Like, I don't say this to brag. If John Crist is not available, you're not having a comedy show in a lot of ways. There's other guys that could do it.
For the
you
Crisis Pregnancy Council.
Yeah. Or like, if you're going to have the church show, and you want to book a like you see if I'm available, if I'm not available, you just have to cancel the show. So like there's the supply, you have the same thing. There's a supply and demand thing where you're clean and you can do shows that other people can't. Where comics that can't make any money and they're talking about smoking pot and being homeless and the cool whatever alternative things. We're like, why would we hire you?
Right.
When there's 90 other comics that will do it for cheaper tomorrow. There's a supply and demand.
And thing. I didn't even know that this world existed, honestly. Yeah. And I mean, I'm a comedian. Right. I have to be a Christian guy, whatever. Right. Go to church with my family and stuff. Yeah. But there is this specifically Christian comedy world.
It's huge.
That is huge.
It's huge.
And I didn't have any idea of this. I thought like they do. I mean, I was asked to do, a show at a church, which I found. You know, at that time, was relatively unusual for me because I'm traveling around doing improv and stuff like that. But I said, sure. If you pay and everything, I'll show up and do a show, I guess. So the guy, and it's fine, and it's going to be this night and everything.
Right.
And they look at me up in the internet, and they look at this and that and the other thing.
Right.
And, you know, Pastor Dave or whoever calls literally in a panic.
In an absolute
panic. Yep. He says, Tom, a couple of people have contacted me. Now, is it true that you are a Catholic?
Yeah, freaking out. Yeah.
I say, well, yeah. I mean, I just do shows. I mean, it's not like, I really don't mention it in my show or anything. It's not like, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Right,
he says, listen, we have freaking a problem with freaking out until I say, well, listen, Pastor, you know, we're a few weeks out. Why don't we just cancel? I mean, we don't have to do it if it's a problem. He says, I made the posters.
So what happened? You never did it?
I came in because I was saying, hey, man.
The posters are printed.
Listen, if you don't want me there, I'm totally cool. So let's not do this. Well, that puts me in a really bad position. Yeah, but you're set. He actually said that the church.
Oh, jeez.
The church needed like a community center sort of space that they didn't have at their church.
Yeah.
And they asked the Catholic church next door if they could use their hall for a couple of meetings.
Fellowship hall.
Yes. Okay. And the Catholic church said, well, sure, okay, you could use our room. And people left their church because they said they were conspiring with the enemy. So, to make a long story short, I say, man, it sounds like this is not my thing. You know, I'm not like a guy. I'm not running up, the hill with a flag. I don't care, man. Yeah. It's a comedy gig.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's not do this. I want you to, the posters are done. It would be ruining everything if you don't go.
This is a great story.
So I come.
You did it.
He picks me up at the airport.
Okay.
Driving me to the hotel. Okay, say, Tom, it would be.
Yeah.
I know that, you know, you've come out and helped me out, but it would really help if you don't mention anything about, like, Catholicism or going to a Catholic church or anything like that.
Yeah, yeah,
and I go, you know, and then I want the gig to be over.
Yeah,
so I'm just like, hey, bro, just give me a microphone and drive me to the airport after the show.
That's all I
and
need.
We're fine.
Yeah. And the check.
You know, and the check.
Yeah, yeah.
I do a show, I think it's going to go fine, it always does, and then drive me to the airport. To make my ridiculously boring story
awesome
short, a couple of guys, when I didn't know that it was an entire movement, they called me and say, hey, there's this gig in North Carolina. And I said, yeah, I don't think it's my thing, really. I don't think that's my...
Right.
They're making a lot of money. But... Guys are doing very, very well.
Doing that thing
as long as they don't talk about anything except what Pastor Dave is comfortable with.
Well, I think it's that, and there's like because I grew up in church. I was homeschooled. My dad was a pastor. I grew up in the South. I worked at Focus on the Family. Like I worked at churches. I'm so like stereotypically Christian. I used to work at Chick-fil-A. Like,
boy, you've like, really got, your certificates, you know, all in a row, man. I worked at Chick-fil-A.
How much
and
more?
Focus on the family.
Yeah. How much more, like, stereotypical?
You don't even tease your hair or anything. Yeah. You don't have a gigantic toupee and a peach tuxedo.
I don't judge people. I just do it in my head. That's the only difference.
Judging in your head as opposed to publicly. Yeah. Sure. So you came out here for Focus on the Family. Were you in a...
Yeah.
Were you being like... you're a young guy. You're saying, I'm going to be a minister of some kind. I'm going to work in...
Well, my dad had always wanted me to take over the church.
His church.
And he still thinks that now, that stand up.
Hey, he's the mayor.
Yeah.
Dad, you're in politics
now. Yeah.
So whatever. You know, ship out.
Party's over.
The party's over, man. Yeah. So, but he still has the church, or he?
No, I mean, the church still exists, and he gave it to, you know, somebody else. But he, like, I don't think that would be where I, it would be my future. But a lot of comics, they want to come on the church shows because everybody knows that those shows make a ton of money. But the problem, not the worst joke, but like the dirtiest joke I have is a joke I talk about. I go down to the streets out here, the words that the kids were using on the streets, but I wouldn't know how to put these words in sentences. So I'd be back in the suburbs and I was walking through the park. I saw the baseball on the ground and I was like, yeah, I'd hit that.
Right.
It's like
Right.
It's a reference to, you know, a guy looking at a girl.
Sure.
Like, I'd hit that. Like, it's a reference to sex.
Yeah.
I'm making that's the dirtiest joke I have.
Right.
Even that.
And you were thinking about it as a baseball. Right.
But my point of view on that joke is that I don't know better.
Right.
So it kind of comes out of a place of innocence like, but I know what it is, obviously, now, that otherwise I wouldn't be making a joke about it.
Yeah.
But even that, even having that joke, it's not online anywhere, but even having that joke online might jeopardize my church bookings.
What are those guys? You know, like, I don't know what it is. I did that one show, and I just did my show.
Yeah.
Which just sort of happens to be clean, but I just do...
It's not.
I do what I do, you know?
Yeah.
What are those guys... I'm fascinated by it because being that clean, being what do you write jokes about? What is it about? What show are they doing?
I have a joke that said, tell me if you get this joke. I said, my dad was, his rule in the house growing up was no movies that aren't realistic. That was the rule. So we couldn't watch Terminator or Die Hard because my dad said, those movies aren't realistic. And I was like, Dad, this doesn't make sense. You just made us watch a movie where Bible characters were played by vegetables.
Right, right.
You get that joke?
Yeah, yeah.
What is it?
That is that, the cartoon thing with...
VeggieTales.
VeggieTales,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah, VeggieTales. Yeah. So in a church... Like, if I did that joke tonight at the show, it'd be like, get a chuckle. Some people would laugh.
Yeah, but nobody
gets... in a church, that almost gets like a standing ovation in the middle of the set.
Because it's not so much... I mean, it's a decent joke, like, but it's that identifiable...
Just like we were talking about Duck Dynasty last night.
That thing where people are just not going, that's particularly funny, but he knows a thing that we know.
He knows
VeggieTales. We watch that.
Just like when you mention Ice Road Truckers, you're a... celebrity, and these are normal people.
Right, and
like,
you're just going, yes!
He
knows what we watch on TV.
Yeah, yeah, and so it's like, it's a whole new, like, realm of it's still the same setup, punchline, it's still the same entertainment. Christians love to laugh, but I have a joke about, they say texting and driving is more dangerous than drinking and driving. And I do this whole bit about, I was driving home at 3 a.m, I got pulled over to texting checkpoint, and then they were like, I had to step out of the car for a thumb flexibility test.
Uh-huh.
And then he made me text the alphabet backwards.
Right, right.
Which, these are all texting associations to drunk driving.
Yeah.
And I did that joke in a church once, and no one laughed.
No one.
No one laughed. But
now, isn't that, John, isn't that groupthink, though? Isn't that people afraid?
Yes,
to admit
yes.
it in front of other people that they think yes. that there's something entertaining about that.
Because
isn't that like sort of, man, that's pretty stiff. Let's face
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
if everybody's
yeah.
just looking over their shoulder like, yeah. what if I laugh at that?
Yes, because everybody
sees
came
me laughing
out after the show and literally like whispered to me like, dude, that texting was hilarious. But they can't laugh at it because they don't want to be seen as the guy getting
but that's
the
wrong,
drinking
isn't it?
Jokes.
Isn't
so
that wrong?
Wrong. So
that's
wrong.
Really wrong.
It's really, really wrong.
That's really,
yeah,
really
yeah,
wrong.
Yeah.
To be like of your community you're that like, you're coming to,
like,
that you're supposed to feel safe yeah. around and actually
yeah.
enriched by,
yeah.
and you're actually watching a comedy show enveloped in fear.
And you think it's hilarious, but you're not laughing.
I can't.
Like, who?
They might judge me.
But think about what we just said in the last 2 minutes. If you didn't know anything about church, who would want to go to that? Nobody.
Nobody.
Yeah.
Nobody.
Like, why would I want it? That sounds terrible. Terrible.
Nobody. Is it fun? Like,
it
I really
is.
Know
yeah,
nothing
yeah,
about
yeah,
this.
Yeah.
I, you know, as these guys, and I know, you know, I know many guys who say that whole like, oh man, you make a lot of money and everything.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
is it
yeah,
is
yeah.
it fun?
It's a blast because those are like my. I literally say, I come out and I go, there's three things you need to know about me. I'm from Atlanta, Georgia. My dad's a pastor and I was homeschooled. And people just explode and like, yes! Because there are a lot of homeschoolers in church for whatever reason. Or
so that is just, we're right!
Like, yes!
We
like,
got
yeah,
one
yeah,
of
yeah,
ours
yeah,
is
yeah,
going to
yeah,
talk
yeah.
to us.
You know, it's the most embarrassing thing I've ever done in a church. My middle name is Barack. Okay, that's my middle name. And it's a Bible name. When I first started comedy, I was like very new to comedy, and I said, you guys, my middle name is Barack. Difference is I have a birth certificate to prove it. And the place,
I'm sure that
people
yeah.
lost their minds cheering. Cause and I was like,
wow.
Isn't that sad? Isn't that so sad?
Wow.
Like, yes!
But
yeah,
as you said, it that is just a celebration of group
yeah.
identification.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not
yeah.
we're at a comedy show.
Yeah, it's just like, yeah,
it's a rally,
it,
man.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
a rally.
It's like a, yeah, yeah. But to be the leader of it feels kind of good.
That is that's
I mean,
really
it's
good. That's good.
True.
Well, it's
yeah.
not really kind of ministry. It's
yeah,
not a church meeting.
Yeah.
It's sort of a rally. But I got to admit, man, you know, Hitler had the right idea. Man, you get
there's
him shouting.
There's
man.
A lot of energy in there.
A lot yeah. of energy going on. And man, if you channel that, hopefully something good. Hope not the wrong
probably,
direction.
Yeah,
but
yeah, probably,
if
yeah,
you channel
yeah.
it, man, that's pretty powerful.
Yeah,
guys have
it.
A lot of trucks there,
yeah, yeah.
and they can haul things or whatever.
We can
people
get it going. We're going to meet in the morning at 11.
Man,
yeah.
we got, yeah.
No, it's like, it's not just guys want to come with me. It's not just I'm going to take the swear words out of my act.
Right.
They think that's just clean it up. There's so much more to it, like the drinking.
But it is really, they're looking, I guess, for
who's
a guy
that, or
girl,
that,
or
the churches.
The churches, or the audience
yeah, yeah.
is saying, we are looking
yeah.
for a person that has the, sort of, is identified as a person from outside, from the mainstream,
yeah.
coming in and affirming us.
On our team.
And on our
yeah,
team.
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
And saying, you know
yeah,
what?
Yeah.
I've been out there.
Yeah.
I snuck behind
oh
enemy
God.
Lines.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're all right.
We're
winning. We're right. And they just, yes!
Oh, this is going to blow your mind. I did a show at a church. And because if you look at my schedule, I don't want to have... I do a lot of churches, but I don't put them all on my schedule because I want to be a mainstream. I want to be a comic. I don't
right.
want to be a church comic. I don't want to be a cruise ship comic. I want to be a comedian.
And you were an excellent comedian.
Yeah,
and you've
you.
Won the
yeah.
what a
yeah.
funniest guy in
all
Denver,
kinds of awards.
Whatever. Else.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I mean, so you're straight.
Yeah, but if,
comic.
If the club see if they were like, I want to come work here. Here's my video, and they see 30 churches,
you're
gonna
dead.
Be like dead, dead.
And if the churches see all,
listen,
Johnny's if, Chuckle Hut. You'll be dead there.
Well, the churches, it's weird because I work a ton in Vegas, and I probably, on my calendar now, I probably have 30 Vegas dates. And they think that is awesome because I'm like,
he's come from Satan.
No, but
he's
no,
come
no.
from hell himself. From hell
like,
itself.
I'm like witnessing to people, or I'm out, like,
oh, yeah,
on
yeah,
a mission.
Yeah, yeah. yeah.
And which I'm not. I mean, I am who I am, and if you want to have a conversation about Jesus, by all means, let's do it.
Right.
But I'm not. Trying to proselytize or trying to, but I did a show. This is in South Colorado, and a show was hilarious. After the show, and I already got paid. Okay, I already got the check. The pastor goes, hey, listen, you know, we just really support John's ministry out there in the comedy clubs, and we see what he's doing, and we as a church want to send him out and support him. And they passed around the bucket.
Even in addition to the tickets?
Yeah.
And in addition to, like, selling whatever, t-shirts or something?
People filled that bucket with cash.
Holy
moly. And he handed it to me, dude.
I'm going back to Pastor Dave. I'm going to change the show, Pastor Dave, if you're listening. I just believe whatever you're saying. I'm back in the thing.
But I accepted the money, don't get me wrong. But I was like, I mean... Yeah, I mean, what do you do
in the middle of that? When the bucket is halfway through the crowd and you're standing there, like, what is going through your head? Either is it like, this is an absolute absurdity, or I think I've got the right idea.
I mean, I'm not that, like, despicable to be like, I was like,
are there some guys like that out there?
No, I don't think so.
They're pretty much decent guys.
Well, it's weird because the guy that asked the church to raise money for the helicopter blades.
Yeah.
Like, think about him when he was 18 or when he got converted or saved. He didn't, or Benny Hinn with the guy that wears the white suit and goes around and
it knocks people over.
He didn't start like that. He was a well-meaning Christian that wanted to help people. Where, like, how did it get confused? How did the guy go from, I want to serve Jesus, I want to give my life to helping other people, to helicopter blades? Like, how does that... Does that make sense?
I think it makes perfect sense.
How do you get... I don't understand that. Because I would identify with the... Hey, I love Jesus, and I'm gonna... I believe God's given me ability to make people laugh. I would go back to the church and bless those people with my ability for a fee, of course.
Of course, but, for a big fee.
Yeah,
for... We are passing the bucket, aren't we, Pastor Johnny?
But how does it get... The helicopter blades. How does that?
Well, I guess power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Right.
And just once you get the idea, as I've said, I think,
right,
once you get the idea that, wait a minute, I'm important.
Yeah.
And what I say is important to these people.
Yeah.
It's even true of comics who would say, like, sort of that when the comic becomes a movie star or whatever and just thinks, I'm just funny.
Yeah,
everything that comes out of me is funny. Right. Then they make three horrible movies in a row.
Then they're like, I don't have to. Yeah,
exactly. Then they get shaken up and go, oh, I have to listen to other people and do some stuff. Yeah, or they completely crash and burn because they say, wait a minute, nobody understands. I'm funny. Guys, and then people say, you have to listen to somebody because these last three movies stunk.
No, we're not going to mention anyone's names, but no.
But I guess it's true that to him it becomes the most important thing on God's earth are helicopter blades, so that I can travel, because when I get out of that helicopter, that's an important thing to those people.
But let me ask you this. Do you think he is writing that email to his congregation to try to deceive them? Or does he think in his heart that that's what God... You know,
well, that's a very dangerous thing that we're not supposed to judge people.
Other people's heart.
We're not supposed to judge, as they say, we're not supposed to judge other people's heart. But we can be fruit inspectors.
Yeah.
What is happening from the helicopter?
A fruit inspector's reference in a church would work great. Everyone would know what you're talking about. I don't know if these podcast listeners are like, whoa, what's fruit inspectors? But I know exactly what you're saying.
Right. I'm not a judge, but I am a fruit inspector. That's churchies, people who don't go to church for... We certainly don't judge people, but if a lot of poison is coming out of it, we can say, like, hey, man, I think there's something wrong going on.
Right. He says, to the fruit reference, if he says, I'm an apple tree, well, you should be growing apples.
You should be growing apples, not just growing the trunk and putting glitter on it.
Yes.
Like, there should be apples coming off that are feeding people, not just going, man, did you see the apple tree bought a helicopter?
Yeah. So if you're a Christian, you should... The fruit of the Spirit of God would be love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control.
You're just showing off now.
Fruit. So if you would say, I'm a Christian, we're like, well, we'll see.
You should be, those things should be getting better within your life.
I should be those things.
And be spreading to people around you. Absolutely.
Not,
and if you're not, if you're not, it's a problem.
I mean, for a fee, of course. But
pass that bucket. Was it like one of those 5-gallon Home Depot buckets that people are...
Well, because
Steve Martin and Deborah Winger anywhere nearby?
I don't know who Steve Martin is. I'm just kidding.
He did that movie with Deborah Winger about a preacher.
Well, okay, so there was a lot of $1 bills in there. I remember there was a lot of small bill, and there was change in there. It's like, I don't know what you want me to do with this exactly.
So you actually rejected the change. That's something, man.
No, I took.
When
of course
did you
I
get full of yourself,
yeah.
John? Man, the people are giving.
They're like, this is all we have. I'm like, wait, we need more. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it's a. I just. I'm like relatively. I'm not new to comedy, but new to like having opportunities in comedy, or maybe making money in comedy, and the church comics. And the mainstream, everybody's like, well, at some point, you're going to have to choose. Like, you're going to have to choose.
Do you think that's true?
I don't know if it's true. I think...
Does it feel like it's true?
Yeah, it feels like it's true.
Where are you going to choose?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know the solution. Because the church comedy is awesome. And it
provides a lot of safety.
And you can be comfortable there.
Yeah.
But
Jesus seems like his message was be safe and comfortable,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Just as long as you're taken care of, I think things are good. Yeah, what, I don't know what book that's in, but it's somewhere.
It's Old Testament.
Echo chambers are good.
But I would like, I took a feature weekend at Crackers Comedy Club in Indianapolis
right.
for, I don't know what, a feature for $500-$600 or whatever. I would never take a church gig for that.
Uh-huh.
Because I know if I want to be a better comic, I'm going to be... That's 7 shows for doing 30 minutes. That's almost 3... That's 3.5 hours of stage time in a weekend at a club that's going to make you strong. Like, a club will make you a good comic.
Mm-hmm.
I was listening to Maron's podcast, and Chris Rock was on. He said... Oh, they're all coming up together. And Chris Rock went on the road doing... And he came back a year later, and everyone was like, oh my gosh, this guy was head and shoulders above everyone else because the road made him strong and polished his stuff, because if it's not good, people are going to let you know that it's not good. Drunk people are going to let you know.
Yeah, it won't go well within the first 30 seconds.
So I was like, I got really good really fast out of necessity to survive. And then I just started doing churches. I've been a Christian my whole life, but I didn't know the Christian thing existed until somebody was like, hey, this guy's on our team, let's bring him. And I was really aggressive, like in the church. They were like, dude, everyone loves you. Calm down. Like, you know what I'm saying?
What do you mean you were aggressive?
Like, I was like, you guys, I have that joke about the kids, all the kids aren't winners. I was like, we skipped a letter to make sure,
Oh, you were
aggressive on stage.
Yeah, you had this vehemence about you.
Yeah, it was kind of like
almost angry.
Yeah, like, and I was like kind of
shouting,
like,
joke punchlines.
Why is this guy yelling? And because that's just what I had to do
in clubs, right,
to survive.
Yeah,
and maybe it's my own.
So it was a tonal difference.
And they were like,
that you just had to be happy guy. You just had to come out and just be relaxed and say,
and you come out
one of you
right up front, and I say, I'm from Atlanta, Georgia. My dad's a pastor, and I was homeschooled.
Boom. We love you.
You're in.
Yeah.
You can do whatever you want.
Whatever you want.
Yes.
Wow.
And you would never get that in a club. You got to prove yourself, which is good about a club.
Yeah.
But I do, let's say I probably do 3 club weekends a month and maybe 1 or 2 churches. The 1 or 2 churches pay all the bills. And the clubs, I break even.
Here's a question, and I know it's even hypocritical of me because I try to do what I can do, but churches that have enough money to pay comedians a lot of money, should they be doing something else with that money?
Great point. Well, a lot of the shows that we do are ticketed. So the church pays nothing.
Oh, okay. So it's if you're at our church and you want to come to a show.
Yeah.
And it's this much
a lot
for a
of
ticket.
Yeah, so it's a lot of time because I go with a comic. His name's Tim Hawkins, and he's like, say we did a church in Boise. He's got fans everywhere, and he said about maybe 10-15% of the crowd actually goes to that church.
Oh, a lot of people from outlying areas.
Yeah, but I mean, they're still Christians, and they still go.
So it's almost like a business thing. The church is putting on a show. But the church is keeping, I guess, a percentage of the tickets, or they make some deal.
They got to turn the lights on and put toilet paper.
So it's like, we have this space, and we'll do the advertising, and we'll know it's clean.
Yeah.
We'll sell the tickets. We'll keep X amount. You keep X amount, whatever. Okay.
Yeah, so it's not people's tithe money paying for the comedian.
Yeah, yeah.
If I do a show like a church, it's like sometimes it's like a missionary fundraiser. Like, I'll come in for free and then they'll make, $10,000 and pay me a couple, and then everybody wins. It's not, we're giving this money to missionaries. Let's give it to the comedian. You know what I'm saying? That doesn't happen. But as the church, a lot of times the church takes no financial risk. But think about Tim Hawkins, the guy. He would have no reason to go to a comedy club because it only seats 400 people.
Right.
Literally, the shows are 3,000 people.
Crazy.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
I'm changing my life and calling Pastor Dave later tonight.
He would come to a comedy club if it was financial, but it's not. Not to think about only the numbers, but he would have no why.
Yeah.
Why would he want to? Why would he need to? He wouldn't. And I'm like, good for you. Everybody's kind of, there's comics that have found their niche. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're a black comic, or I forgot the guy's name. He's gay, and so I wouldn't probably do
niche
well.
Markets. It's all niche markets.
Or hipster, Nick, Nick Kroll, have you ever heard of that guy?
Uh-huh.
Because he has a show on Comedy Central. Yeah. I don't know what it is or what it, and I just walked down to the comedy club, my home club, a couple Wednesdays ago. Wednesday, there was a line around the building twice. I was like, what?
Yeah.
Who? And he has some podcast, or he has a show now, but his fans are crazy about him. Hmm. And shouldn't we say great for that guy?
Hey, man, it's America. If you can sell a lot of tickets, then whatever way you can, you win.
You win.
I mean, Evel Knievel did it jumping motorcycles. You did it. Do it doing a show. Whatever.
We go to these small towns with Pauly Shore.
Oh, that's a shame.
Great guy, though. I think it's a great guy. I like tour with him. Nice enough guy. We have great talks. Guy sells out Colorado Springs.
Yeah.
Two shows on a Thursday, leaves to standing ovations. Doesn't he win?
Oh, he wins, definitely. He wins that night. Yeah. He beat me.
He beat me.
Congratulations.
When have you ever heard somebody saying, Pauly Shore? Everybody talks bad about him.
But I wouldn't talk bad about him. I've known Pauly since he was 8 years old. Okay, I mean, he does the thing that he does.
That's an example.
Which is
of
very different than my thing.
People. Right, yeah. Right. Oh, Dane Cook.
Well, it's a tribute to America.
Yeah, yeah.
That you and me, and Pauly Shore,
can all
perform
win.
As comedians, and can all win.
So
how? So what?
Well, the Christian guy that's found his niche, a lot of people make fun of.
I see your point. Sure,
isn't he the winner?
You're saying, can I have a niche? I mean, I'm not.
Whatever
you're saying,
your niche is,
I'm not allowed to have a niche, but everyone else can have a niche.
Yeah, he says, I'm going to churches and I'm going to leave the clubs.
That's fine.
He wins.
Yeah, he's beating me.
Yeah, he wins. He's or like the guy me. That whatever you. I mean, I've known comics that you see their name on the marquee, never heard of them. You show up at the club and it's
well, cool. Sure. That's yeah.
Because whatever.
I gotta let you go, man.
Yeah, we're out.
But listen. Yeah. I mean, how could people find you?
Well, part two of the podcast. They can
really
nah. it's johnchristcomedy.com.
John Christ, C-R-I-S-T.
Yeah,
comedy.com.
Like Christ,
all right, and you're tweeting and you're everything.
Yeah, I'm on all that.
Facebook.
Vegas. I'm at a couple dates in Vegas the next couple months. I think I'm at Cleveland.
We'll end with this, but what does Dad think about this whole thing? This going to Vegas and all this stuff?
Best thing ever.
Really? He's really into it.
It's incredible, And I don't think there's that many comics that could say that their dad is proud of their act, you know what I'm saying? And I'm like a guy's have emailed me and said, hey, I just sat down. And you could say the same thing about your stand-up. Hey, I sat down with my wife and my kids and we watched your stand-up and we all laughed together. That is awesome, man. A lot of people can't say
that's
that.
It's a great
you
gift.
Know? It's
a great gift.
You can make fun of that, but I'm going to take some F-words out because I I support that. And when people say, come up to me after the show, I'm sure you get the same thing. Hey, like, it's kind of like a whisper, like, hey, thanks for being clean. Or like, it's...
Right.
The kind of like...
But I'm sure with you, like with me, I never went after being a clean comedian.
Okay, me neither.
And I have never advertised myself as a clean comedian.
It's not,
and I did shows in the Comedy Store in L.A.
Yeah.
with Andrew Dice Clay and with Sam Kinison and with everybody.
Yeah.
And all I do is whatever I want to do.
Exactly. We need you to be you.
I am just me. And I'll do a show that's from me, and fortunately, people like it, and that's and that's all.
Because you're you.
Because I'm me.
Yeah.
I can't be them.
Yeah.
Thanks, man. Let's have lunch.
Let's do it again sometime.
Probably not. Once Pastor Dave hears that you were on my podcast. Hey, thanks so much for listening. See, John Crist is an example for you people out there. All you homeschooled people, all of you people that were raised in some, I don't know, Mennonite community in Ohio, you can chuck it all and become a comedian, traveling the world and making people laugh. A lot of comedians don't know why you would do that, but hey, you're always welcome to do it. Thanks so much for listening today. Thanks to Emily Wilson for producing. Thanks to Chris, Katie, everybody at Nerdist Industries. Thanks to McPherson Guitars for helping me on the live show. I'm all over the place out there, so come and see me and say you will listen to the podcast, and I will talk to you next time. Bye.
Leaving Nerdist.com.